COVID-19 is 70% more infectious than the original version, and the number of confirmed cases has now increased quite dramatically over the past few days, particularly in Tier 4 areas. As yet, there is no suggestion that the new variant is any more dangerous or more resistant to vaccines. But how is this translating in terms of hospital admissions and particularly intensive care admissions as well? And how has it gone from being non-existent to the most common form of the virus in parts of England in a matter of months? Nick Beeching is Senior Lecturer in Clinical Infectious Diseases with the Liverpool School of Tropical Medicine. We can hear from him now. Nick, good morning to you. Thanks for being with us. I know it's still early days regarding this new variant, if you like, but what more do we know about this?
Yeah, good morning. Well, I think you summarised it pretty well, actually. All viruses, you know, mutate. It's just the natural thing to do, and coronaviruses do this. And ever since the epidemic first started, there have been different strains. They differ from each other a tiny bit, and it doesn't seem to matter very much. What's happened with this particular strain is it's got quite a lot of mutations at the same time, which is why people are more concerned about it. And about half of those are in the spike protein. That's the pointy bit that sticks out of the virus and helps it attach itself to the lungs and so on. So that's a bit alarming, and a similar variant has been seen in South Africa. What we really don't know is whether that's just something that's happening and it just happens to be the virus around in an area that was tier two and lots of people were catching the virus, or whether it is really much more infectious. Our own experts think it is more infectious. Some of the European virologists have been a bit more cautious, like Dr. Ryan from the WHO. But I think the reassuring thing is that it doesn't seem, as far as we know, it doesn't cause more severe disease, and it should be picked up by the tests, and it should respond to vaccine.
The WHO have said that there's not one shred of evidence at all to say this is, you know, any more infectious or any more harmful than the current virus. And they warn about, well, headlines like this, for example, you know, mutant virus is everywhere, says the Times. Daily Mirror, mutant virus is already spreading all across the UK. This is not helpful, Nick, is it?
No, I don't think so. And we will learn more about its infectiousness, if you like, the real infectiousness of the virus over the next few weeks. We just have to see where the data are. My personal feeling is that a lot of this is just it happened to be the virus around where lots of people were catching infection anyway, and naturally it is the one that predominates. And we'll just have to wait and see. But as you say, we've had these alarms before. Earlier this year, we had the so-called Spanish variant that lots of people were bringing back from Spain to the UK. There's the mink variant that can be transmitted between mink and people. But so far, there's no evidence that any of them are more dangerous, just possibly more infectious.
Well, we just seem to be on high alert at the moment, don't we? Because we've all been through so much. And like yourself, I'm sure, I wait for the figures to come out on a daily basis. And of course, you know, one person passing away from this virus is one too many. But when we just look at the cold numbers, it seems to be fairly stable around the 400 to 500 people per day. And it doesn't seem right to be talking about numbers and people passing away, but it seems to be fairly stable at the moment. And I know it changes of a weekend where it's low, but do you see that? We're not seeing those numbers, those 700, 800, 900 numbers that we were seeing earlier this year.
No, but we're still, you know, the weekly average for the last week is still more than 30,000 cases a day. And as you say, about 450 deaths a day on average, which is still an awful lot. I mean, fortunately, we are better at managing people with infection than we were. We've learned quite a lot. And that death rate could be considerably higher if we took this back 9 months. But it is still tragic for, you know, the parents, the families of all of those people.
Indeed.
If you look at different parts of the country, that what is so striking is the huge upsurge in the south and southeast over the last few weeks, and that's what's driving the numbers. But we can't be complacent up here because numbers are beginning to go up again in the north. I think Liverpool, you know, were hit very hard in about October, and collectively we managed to bring those figures down. But as soon as we relax things, it has the potential to go up again.
The figures at the moment, as you say, you know, we check them on a daily basis. This is all about trying to keep the pressure off the NHS. You mentioned coronavirus before. Flu is a coronavirus, I think you mentioned before. There doesn't seem to be as much of that around at the moment. Is this because, I mean, this is just anecdotally, but is this because hands, face, space, we're cleaner at the moment, we're more aware of our own personal space, and virus don't, they don't like that. They like close, they like hugs, they like kisses, they want to be passed on. Do you feel that there isn't as much flu about at the moment, and that can be a good thing if it comes to it with the pressure on the NHS?
Yes, you're quite right. Viruses don't like it when we do the right things to keep them away. Just a little correction there, Tony. The flu is, it's spread the same way, but it is actually a different group of viruses.
Okay.
But you're quite right. There was a big difference in Australia, which is 6 months ahead of us in these things. They just didn't have flu this year, not in any big numbers. It was flattened by all the precautions that people were taking. And it's certainly our impression, I don't know the precise data, that there's a lot less of that around this year in the UK so far. And we hope it remains that way, because a combination of flu and COVID is not fun. But if we're doing all the things that we should do to stop transmitting COVID, you know, keeping a distance from people, wearing masks to reduce the risk of transmission, and keeping away from people unless we have to, then that should also reduce the amount of flu and coughs and colds generally.
And just before we let you go, Nick, we've not spoken much about vaccines at the moment. This is a godsend, of course it is, and there's more coming along the way. President-elect Joe Biden, 78, had his vaccine yesterday in a way to encourage more people to come forward. But there's still work going on, you know, in labs all around the world. Can vaccines be tweaked to work against these new strains of virus, like the flu virus? That changes, doesn't it? Is the vaccine for the flu, does that get tweaked every year and that's the jab that we get?
Yeah, I think there's a big difference. So just to be very reassuring, there's no evidence that these new variants of the COVID will not respond to vaccines, or that they will cause worse disease, or indeed be missed by the test. So as far as we know, this doesn't influence that. And it is fantastic that we have several vaccines approved and being rolled out. And now it's just the logistics of getting it to everybody. So that, if you like, is the Christmas present to us all, or the New Year's present to us all. The flu vaccine is a bit different, because there you do have huge changes in the strain that's going around every year. And so they do have to tweak the vaccine every year and guess which strain is going to come to the UK 6 months ahead. As with the COVID, it seems to be very different. And these new vaccines appear to be fantastically effective, much better than our wildest dreams. And that's a really good thing. And we hope that they will be effective for years to come.
OK. Well, Nick, that's what I'm going to take away from our conversation this morning. Just that last bit that you mentioned to us there, because we all do need a bit of reassurance.
So
can I just say before we let you go, thank you very much indeed for all your contributions this year. It's been a massive help. We've all learned an incredible amount from you, and you've been really reassuring for many of our listeners as well. So thanks. I appreciate that. Thank you.
It's a pleasure and a privilege to be on the show, Snowy.
Thank you. Thank you. There you are. There's Nick Beach in there. We're just talking about the situation we're in at the moment. Senior lecturer in clinical infectious diseases with the Liverpool School of Tropical Medicine. How lucky we have that in the city.
I think really reassuring as well what he says, because I think we all thought we were going to turn a corner a few weeks ago, didn't we? And then we seem to have had this setback, but that the vaccines still seem to be just as effective. With this. So good news, a little bit of good news.
Papers do my head in some days, mate. They really do.